will not take up another offering tonight. Sherry's going to play for us anyway. Me. Anyway. Ephesians chapter 4. This is just a wonderful passage of Scripture, portion. So much there, you can't, no place to stop. I'm going to read all the way down through verse 2 of chapter 5. Paul wrote this from prison. And he says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, in the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with a long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even or in whom you're called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave, these were the gifts he gave unto men. He gave some apostles, gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come unto the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man and woman, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that is, full age, as believers, mature believers, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but being sincere, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him, in Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And from Him the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. He makes the increase of the body, the edifying of itself in love. And this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them, because of blindness of their heart, hardness, and who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You haven't so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, and that you put off concerning the former conversation or life the old man, which is so corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, the holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. We're members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And let no corrupt communication or speech proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the edifying, the use of edifying, profitable speech, that it may minister grace unto those that hear you. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed, or in whom you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice or evil thinking, Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering, sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor. All right, let's bow for prayer. Say it over and over again, it might appear to lose some of its sincerity, but I'm thankful for you, Sherry. Thankful for our pianist. Amen. I hope you'll be praying silently for me as I bring this message tonight. Say that over and over again. I request your prayers. I sincerely do. It's hard enough to stand up here at all, much less twice, much less three times in one day. So I covet your prayers. John 17 is where we are, and this will be the next to last message out of this series. Now, last Sunday night, I did what I said I wasn't going to do at the beginning. That is, brought a little something, what of a discourse. And I hope we got something out of it. But I want to get back into the spirit of this prayer. That's what I'm seeking after when we began this. I want to feel the heart of it. I want to feel the warmth of this prayer. I want to feel the spirit of this prayer. I want to feel the comfort of this prayer, the glory of this prayer. And believe the truth of this prayer, and not just be indoctrinated about progressive sanctification. Okay. Now, the Lord had been talking about these things. Once again, I'll rehash them for you. He'd been talking about His eternal power. He said, "These things I speak," verse 13, that they might have my joy, that they might truly rejoice, have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Seeing me as having all power over all flesh, understanding and knowing my name, who I am, seeing something of my glory, that is the gospel, understanding that gospel, understanding His Word and having appreciation for it, esteeming it highly. His oneness with the Father, seeing how that because He lives, we live also, and how that He has a close rapport with the Father, and therefore we do also. And seeing our eternal security, how that we'll never be lost ever again, ever. In verse 12. And seeing our sanctification in Him, how that it's not left up to us to sanctify ourselves, that He did it for us. He said they ought to get some joy from that if they were listening. And His Spirit coming to lead us and guide us and so forth. And now in verse 20, He says, and I'll try to make this brief. He said, now I'm praying for these. I'm not praying for these alone. That is, not just for the great apostles, Peter, James, John, Andrew, all these apostles. I'm not just praying for them, but I'm praying for others. I'm praying for others. Which shall believe. I'm praying not for these alone, but for them also which shall believe. Now, when He prayed this, He was talking about you. He talking about me. That's who He had in mind. He may have the names. I'm sure they did. This is the eternal, omnipotent God, omniscient God who knows all things. I'm sure those myriad of names went through His mind. Think about it. Your name crossed His mind. Lord, Father, I'm not praying just for James and Peter and John. I'm praying for old Joe. I always say old Joe, don't I, Joe? Sorry about that, buddy. You are. Keep getting there. I'm praying for Joe, Henry, Roberta. I'm praying for these people. And even though he's saying, even though the apostles walked and talked with Christ and beheld His glory, says here, and they believed on Him through Christ's word, it says that we'll believe on Him through their word. And you and I were talking about this afternoon, Barbara. We do believe, don't we? We really do. I mean, that's the mystery Paul talked about to young Timothy. It's a great mystery. We actually believe. We actually believe something that happened so long ago and something that's written in such an old book. We actually rest our eternal souls on. I really do. I believe. That was brought home to my heart one day. I was out working when we were building a house, and I was reading the Bible, and I was eating a bite, and I just, the Lord just blessed me by the thought that I actually believe this. And it's because there's so many people that don't. So many people that don't. And He's praying for those that shall believe still. Who knows? There may be some people. There'll be some people coming in here. There's not one of them in here right now that was in here this morning. They've been coming. Who knows? They just might believe. If they're His, it's who Christ is praying for. And but if He's got her or His, whosoever name that He's praying for, they're going to believe. They're going to believe. He did it to you, didn't it? It was the day when you didn't believe, and now you do. Because of this prayer right here. Because of this prayer. Father, I'm praying that they'll believe also. That they'll believe through the Word. You know, Peter said, we saw visions of glory and grandeur. When we were on that mountain, we saw, Paul said, I went up and saw things unlawful that I can't even talk about. But he said, you've got a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word. You've got the finished story right here. You can believe it. You can believe it. And I do. And the more I read it, the more I study it, the more I hear it, the more I'm convinced. This is the Word of God. It's too, like that parable we saw this morning, it's too plain, isn't it? It's too revealing. It's too clear. It's too truthful. It meets me. It hits me right on the money. Everything about it hits me. It's got to be the Word of God. No man could have written that thousands of years ago and have it meet my case. No, but it does, doesn't it? It transcends time. It transcends culture, people, old, young, rich, poor. It meets all needs. The same word will meet the same needs of different people. That's how I know. And we believe. And he said, we've seen him in the flesh. Peter said, we've seen him. But you love him, but you haven't seen him. That's a miracle. You love him, somebody you've never seen before. Somebody you've really never heard their voice before. You love him. And you believe. And you rejoice with joy unspeakable at times. Not all the time. But you do rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Paul said, we're so thankful. Paul said, I'm so thankful that you've received this word as it is in truth, the word of God. Not everybody does. Everybody, even the so-called theologians and religious folks, people that profess to be Christians, many of them deny that this is the word of God. The inerrancy of it, the infallibility of it, the inspiration of it, many of them deny it. Well, you don't, do you? Like little children. Y'all believe this, don't you? But this is God's word. Now, that's a real blessing. And Christ is praying to the Father that we will believe on Him through their word, through the word of the apostles. Verse 21. He's praying, he said, Father, that they all may be one. That they may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me. Christ said, Father, I pray that Violet and Ellen and Virgie, the golden girls, I pray that they might be one. And they are. You see them everywhere together, don't they? They're one. They even get they look alike. One in faith. Y'all believe the same thing. Three musketeers. One in faith. You look to the same Savior, don't you? Believe in the same Christ, same gospel. One in purpose. You come here to worship God, not to be seen. One in love. Love to God. Love to His gospel. And love to one another. You love one another dearly, don't you? His prayer's been answered. It's come to pass. I pray that they might be one. That they might be one. As Thou, Father, art in me, and one in spirit, though many members, and not many by today's standard, but many members, but one body, one church, in earth and heaven. And someday, finally, we're going to be one in presence, never to leave one another again. And you know what? I'm going to sit beside some of the oldest and greatest saints that ever lived. I'm going to talk to those boys. I won't be too taken up, and you won't be too taken up with them when we get there. We'll be so taken for about 100,458 zillion trillion years. We'll be taken up with Christ, you know. And then we might get around to seeing who's sitting beside us. But at any rate, we're going to be sitting there, and I'm going to say, "Well, he's something in it." And some old boy's going to be beside me, and he's going to say, "Yeah, he is. I've been beholding him a long time now. You have you?" Yeah, he gets more wonderful all the time to me. Yeah, I can see why. By the way, what's your name? Oh, it's not really important, but they used to call me Moses. Is that right? Yeah, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. That they might be one, as Thou, Father, art in me. One in Christ. Christ prays for the eternal familyhood of believers, that they all may be one. I know this world talks about all religions, all faiths being joined together, but it can't be. Because there's one faith, one Lord, one faith, one body, one family. As Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us. That they also may be one in us. Father, as close as we are to one another, I want them to be that close to one another, and I want them to be that close to me and to you. And it's going to be so. It's going to be so. It doesn't seem like it now, does it? Sometimes we feel like we're so far away. Sometimes we don't feel like we're in the family at all. But I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I want to be. Not what I'm going to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. That's what old John Newton said. And Christ is praying here, Father, let them in on this glorious oneness.
And we have this glorious oneness, and we will. That's what that song said, Ellen. We're going to see Him face to face. As He is. And we're going to know, even as we've been known. And we're going to be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed into His likeness. Oh, I forget which two characters it was in Pilgrim's Progress. They said when they crossed over that river of death and went into that celestial land, and their raiment was changed, and they were changed in the image of Christ. They said they both stood there looking at one another. And one say to the other, "Boy, you're beautiful." And she'd say, or he'd say, "Well, you are too." Admiring one another. Because we look like Christ. Look like Him. See Him. And we're going to speak to, we're going to actually speak to Him. And be spoken to by Him. That voice, one of these days, you've heard it. Not with these ears. You've heard it. You've heard it in your heart. You've heard it through the preaching of the gospel. One day you're actually going to hear it. One of these days, He's going to call your name. Actually. Hello, John. You think about it now. Just think about it a minute. Welcome, Nancy. Ah, boy. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that'll be glory. That will be glory to me. Father, I pray that the world, look at this, verse 21, that the world may believe that You've sent me. That the world, not just a handful of Jews, but a people which no man can number. There's that word again. We're not tripped up by that, are we? The word world. Not just a handful of Jews. That's what He was saying to old Nicodemus. Over there in chapter 3, wasn't it? Not just a handful of Jews. No. A people that no man can number, as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. That the world, a world of people from the far corners, from the four corners of the earth. Mexicans, Africans, Virginians, Kentuckians, from all over. That they may believe that You sent me. You know that 33 times in the Gospel of John alone, it talks about Christ. It's where it talks about the Father sending Him, as He has sent me, as He's 33 times. Significant number, isn't it? 33 times. Somebody was sent here for 33 years. But look over with me at John chapter 6, quickly. John chapter 6, it says that four times in John 17. It talks about the Father sending Christ. And here's the heart of the gospel right here, that He was sent. Isn't that what John was saying over in his epistle? Chapter 4, he that believeth that Christ cometh, or that Jesus is the Christ that comes from the Father, sent from the Father, he's born of God. John 6, look at verse 38. He says this three times in these three verses. He says, "All the Father giveth me shall come to me." 38. I've come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. See, I got something to do. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He given me, I'll lose nothing. I like that. It'll raise it up, but again, at the last day. And this is the will of Him also that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son. You seen Him? I seen Him. And believeth on Him. You believe Him? I believe Him. May have everlasting life. And I'll raise Him up at the last day. Now, the world really doesn't believe this. I know they say they do. But they really don't believe that this man named Jesus of Nazareth long ago really came from and was sent by God Almighty. Supernaturally, powerfully, successfully. They don't believe that, really. Really, now, they do not believe that. They believe there's a baby born a long time ago. And some say this and that and the other. But you know, just a good man, mostly. A martyr. But most don't believe He's the only begotten Son of God. He's the only Christ. He's the only Messiah, the only Savior. Most don't believe that. You believe that. Blessed are you if you believe that. That He's the only mediator between God and men. Some believe in Mary, don't they? That He's the only prophet. Some believe there's still prophets. that he's the only priest, that he is that apostle, the apostle of our profession, that he is the king, the only way, the truth, and the life. Some people don't believe that. Blessed are your hearts if they do believe that. And consequently, people have made up all sorts of religious philosophies, and with their priests and their sacrifices and their ordinances and their little ceremonies they go through and so forth. We don't have that here.
We worship God. We're the true circumcision, the true concision. We worship God in spirit.
We don't have crosses, candles, robes, and all that.
We worship God in spirit.
We rejoice in Christ and Christ alone, and put no confidence in the flesh, anything having to do with the flesh. We're blessed. Blessed. But a few chosen people throughout the world believe that the holy, sovereign, omnipotent God sent Christ down here to do something. What did he send him to do? Now, listen to me. Let's dwell here a moment. This is the gospel. I talked to Brother Todd on the phone the other day. He's doing well, by the way. Very well. He's preaching, says he feels good. He sounds like his old self. We were talking, and I esteem him so highly. His discernment, his insight in the scriptures. Young man, 31 years old, but he's been a diligent student, and he's really made some sacrifices to preach the gospel and all. The Lord's blessed him. And we were talking about this thing of preaching, and I have a tendency to become emotional and to become try to work people up, and I've heard preachers try to sway people and try to move people, scare them, and this and that and the other. But when it comes right down to it, real preaching must contain
meaty truth.
Real preaching must contain doctrinal truth. Meat. Solid gospel food. Every gospel message should contain these doctrines, which culminate in the doctrine of Christ. Which one can you leave out? You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't leave it in. Sovereignty of God? No. It's all wrapped up in that. Is he successful? Our depravity? Well, that's the reason we come to worship. Because we're depraved. Unable. That's the reason God had to send Christ, because we're unable. Right? Unwilling and unable. Election? That's unto salvation. And if he hadn't chose us and elected us, nobody be saved. Particular redemption? Oh, man, that's the heart.
You going to not believe that?
That's the heart and the soul. That's the blood,
the lifeblood
of the gospel, that his blood actually saved. Irresistible grace, the Holy Spirit actually must draw, and when he calls, they come. I'm thankful. I'm not going to refuse to believe that. That's the way it was. That's the way it is. And perseverance? Oh, I'm glad about that. I don't want to leave that out. Or I'd be lost every day, right? So it's got to contain these truths. And the reason God sent Christ down here, and here's these basic truths again. He came down here to do something that had to be done. Got a job to do. What is it?
Fulfill righteousness.
It behooves us, Christ, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Why? God's got to be honored. The law's got to be satisfied, right? It's got to. Man needs to understand a little bit something about that. Not be a theologian concerning it, but needs to understand a little bit why Christ came. He came to establish a righteousness. And he came down here to do for us the impossible. Justify us. It's impossible with man. With God, all things are possible. And who'd have thought it? Who'd have thunk it? Such a thing. The just for the unjust. Switching places. Him actually living a perfect life and God's accepting and transferring. And him actually going to the cross, transferring our guilt on him and killing us in him. Who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought it? He had to come down and do that. He had to work out our salvation. He had to fulfill the scripture. God's word has to be fulfilled. Every jot and tittle of it, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's the reason it took him 33 and a third years. Every line. Every line. He had to pay for our sins. He has to save us and keep us from falling. Christ had to come for us
or else we'd have never got to God. Right?
And it shall be said in that day, and I like this verse, you might want to jot this down, 1 Samuel 25:9. It'll be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we've waited for Him, and He'll save us. This is my Christ, Rick. I've waited on Him, and He'll save me. He's the only one that can, and only one that does. He'll save us. This is the Lord. We waited on for Him. We'll be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Don't tell me about this Jesus now that tries and can't. I want to hear it. Spit on Him. I mean it. I mean it. He's not worthy of worship, is he? That's a fake. That's another Jesus. I hate Him. Hate Him. This Jesus, we'll be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Why? Because He saves. He saves. And you see, that was 1 Samuel 25:9. You see, the essence of true saving faith is this. Listen, Paul said this in Romans 10:7. He said, don't say in your heart, who's going to ascend to heaven? He said, that's to bring Christ down. Don't say that. How are we going to get to heaven? Well, we've got to work toward it. You've got to live a good life. You've got to get right with God. You've got to make your peace with God. You've got to get up there somehow. No, don't say that, Paul said. That's to bring Christ down. You see, He's high and lifted up. He's already there. He's there. The only way you're going to get to heaven is because He's there, if you're in Him. Don't say that. Say this. Lord, You saved me. Christ is praying there, that the world may believe that You sent me,
that I had to come.
Father had to send me, else nobody would be saved. All right? The sent one, call His name Jesus because He'll save. And that's His glory. Verse 22. And the glory, look at this. He says, Father, the glory which You gave me, I've given them. That glory that You've given me, I've given them.
Well, the gospel is called the gospel of His glory. And that's the great treasure that He's given us. First of all, He's given us the gospel. All men don't prize it. We really don't. And sometimes we take it for granted. That's the reason we're so cold and dull and lifeless sometimes. We take it for granted. But this is the greatest gift a man could ever receive. The gospel of His glory. An understanding of it. A love of it. An understanding of it. Father, the glory You've given me, this good news, give it to them.
Give it to them. And the glory of His sonship, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons. Take a maggot and call him a son. That's glory. Isn't that glorious? Someday we'll know. The glory of approval. Father approves of me. Oh, no, not me. Yeah? You. Me? You. Me? You. Well, please. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, not yeah, you. Talking to you, old boy. Old scoundrel. God approves of you. How? In Christ. That's glory. And God, Christ gave that to you. He worked it all out and gave it to you, Terry. Be thankful. The glory of being an heir with God. Everything He's got, everything Christ got, everything He's got coming to Him, I give. Man, you're talking about a story of rags to riches. The glory of the Father's love. The Father loves me. We're going to get into this in a moment. The Father loves me like He loves Christ. That holy, spotless, well-beloved, altogether lovely, holy, righteous, sinless, pure, perfect Son of the living God. But He thinks about me in the same way. Me. That's glory. Glory. As Margaret would say. That's glory. The Father loves me like He loves we see. The glory of communion and revelation, like we were talking about a while ago. We're going to be with him. We'll see him. We'll walk with him, talk with the king. The glory of life, eternal life. Contentment, bliss, happiness, holiness. I can't even speak of it, and you can't listen to it. That they may be one. He says it again. The glory which I've given them, the glory which you gave me, I've given them. Christ gave it. It's his to give, his only. We can't get it. He has to give it. That they may be one, even as we're one. To never be separated from God and Christ again. So often I feel so far away, don't you? So often. Folks so far from God. David said it over and over again in the psalm. He said, your mercy's clean gone. Lord, if you'd given me up finally, I'd deserve it if you did. I'd sure appreciate it if you wouldn't. Are you gone for good? Is this it? Is this the last straw? Is this the straw that's broken the mercy of God's back? No. His mercy endures forever. And oh, to never see one of you people ever leave again. You've seen some people go, haven't you? And it breaks your heart. It's sad. And I can't even think about losing some of you. I just can't even. It's sad, isn't it? People leave. I can't help but wonder why and all, but someday, the reason I wish you'd end it now, well, that they might be one, never to leave again. Never to go out from us, but always stay with us. But though earthly relationships will fail, none of Christ's people, none of his sheep will ever perish. Ever. Ever. Because he says, look at verse 23, because I'm in them. When Christ truly reveals himself to somebody, he comes, takes up residence. Like that little girl said to her daddy, Daddy, how big is Christ? You've heard this. I'll tell it again. How big is Christ? I guess he's about average, about my height. And she said, if Christ was in me, he'd stick out, wouldn't he? Yeah, he would. And I see him in some of you. And that's the reason I have a good hope concerning some of you. And Christ, when he comes in, he takes up residence by his Spirit. He becomes the head of the house, doesn't he? He becomes the head of the house. He becomes the master, the teacher. He becomes the leader. He becomes the guide. He becomes your husband. Your husband. Old Nabal. You remember the story of Nabal and Abigail? David came through and said, send up there and get us some provisions. There's a rich landowner up there. Get us some food and all. And the servants went up there. And Nabal, that's his name, fool. Nabal said, who is David? That I should serve him. I'm going to serve him. He was a fool, wasn't he? He was a fool.
But there was a little lady in that house. She was the wife of a fool.
Abigail. She heard about David.
By God's grace and mercy, she heard.
But she believed. She knew who David was. And she went running out there to meet David and said, oh, don't hold this. Lay this not to his account. Charge me with it. He was the type of cry. But anyway,
you know what happened to Abigail, don't you? Yeah. He married her.
God killed that old fool. He married Abigail. I tell you what. And Lord Christ, he marries his people. He marries you. He marries you. And you know how much you love your children? He says, I in them. And thou in me. I in thee. You know how much you love your children? You can't even express it, can you? What would it be like to go over to Ethiopia and get one of those dying babies and terrible looking little emaciated baby and take it home and feed it and and nurse it and clothe it and love it and adopt it into your family and love it as much as you love your own daughter? What would that be like? That'd be glorious, wouldn't it? Take the grace of God, wouldn't it?
That's exactly what it takes for God to love us like He did Christ.
The grace of God. That's what Christ did for us. And thou and me. I and them and thou and me. One big happy family. With a happy ending. Happily ever after. And they lived happily ever after. It's the only time it's ever going to be said that, really and truth. It's not Hollywood. It's not a fairy tale. This is truth. And they lived happily ever after. Father, children, Holy Spirit, happily ever after. One big happy family. I love a good movie like that, don't you? With a happy ending. Happily, I like the old Disney movies and all that. Oh, they go through trials and troubles and hardships and pain and sorrow and all that. But it always, you know it's going to turn out all right. Except for old Yeller. But many of them, happily ever after. Here's a squeaky, clean dad and mom, you know, and little kid and dog. Everything's great, yeah. That's us. That's the way it's going to be. That is the way it's going to be. Happily ever after. That they may be in me, thou in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Perfect in one. Who's the one? In Christ. Perfect in Him. And that the world may know, here it is again, that thou hast sent me, that the world may know that you've sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. There it is again. That they might know, that little scraggly ragtag bunch of believers there in that little hilltop church called Central Baptist, that they might know that Christ actually came down just to save them. Just to save them. And He actually loves them as you love me, Father. Let them know that. That they may know that. How could He love me? Such a unlovely. I feel unlovely, but I feel like I'm not worthy to be loved by you people. Don't you? If you knew yourself, you would. I feel unworthy of your love. I think to myself, I think about some of you dear, sweet people, and I just esteem you so highly. Talking to Todd about this, some people came in the office one day, or three of our choice people in the study down there one day, and I was actually literally sitting there thinking, now here I am in this position of pastor and preacher and all that. But I thought, these people are head and shoulders above me in every respect. I thought these people are far superior to me in every way. Although the world doesn't esteem you very highly, or you don't esteem yourself very highly. And I just wonder how you could love me. But wonder of wonders, how God could. How could He? No other way but in Christ, is it? This is the reason we talk about the love of God being only in Christ. It's the only way. But you think about it. Think about these terms of God's love. Listen carefully. It's a special love. Special. The world exists. You remember that scripture? He says, I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia. And the world exists for God's people. For God's elect. It's still revolving, waiting on that last sheet. God's still providing for us. He'd have burned it up a long time ago, like Solomon and Gomorrah would. But He's long-suffering to usward. Usward. It's special. It's special. Special objects. Special. It's unchangeable. Now, you consider this with me.
He loves me the same when He's whipping on me. That's when He pat me on the head. It's the same.
It is the same. You know, you're a mother. You're a father. You know, when you're beating those little tiny legs, it's killing you, isn't it? You're not saying, oh, you dirty little mom, I'll
beat the life out of you. You're not saying that at all. You're loving them. Aren't you? You love them the same. Even when they're rotten to the core. You love them. You still love them. And it hurts you. Somehow, no matter what you're going through, he's loving you the same, but he's putting you through it. And you think, why? How? You just like a little child. How could she love me? How could mommy do this to me? She does. Don't you, mom? She does. You don't understand it, though. You're a little child. Believe it, though. Believe it. That's your consolation. That's your comfort. That's your peace. That Father loves me. It's only your peace when you know the truth of his love. You know, I don't love, and it's eternal. His love is eternal. I don't love that little girl any more than I did when I first laid eyes on her. I can honestly say that. When she first popped out of that womb, she had me. Immediately, I was hers. She was mine. I don't love her any more now than I've grown more attached to her. But I don't love her any more now. Can you say that, parents? Can you honestly say that? You don't love them anymore. You're more attached to them. But you don't love them anymore. This is the love of the Father for us. Eternal love. And it never stops, no matter what. Now that's good news. But I've been so dead, so cold, so I've ignored God, I've gone so long without Him. You ought to be done with you. Never stops. But I'm so sinful. So sinful. I'm such a hypocrite. Oh, I sing, I act like I mean it, I come to just say these things. I talk a good ball game the next minute I'm asleep or whatever. No matter what. But God, who's rich in mercy, for His what? Great love wherewith He has loved us. Even when we were dead, and even since we're still old sinners, have quickened us together. How? Where? Where's it all? With Christ, in Christ. By grace you save. By grace you save. Quickened us together with Christ. All right. Let's sing number 441 in closing. 441. Stand with me and we'll sing. Change the chorus to Christ Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained with Him, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now saved. Christ lifted me when no one else could have. Christ lifted me.
Dismissed.